and welcome to Best Girl Grip, the podcast that celebrates the women behind the scenes of the British film industry. I'm your host, Nicole Davis.
Hello, pod pals. I hope you had a good bank holiday. I spent the weekend at the Flatpak Film Festival in Birmingham interviewing programmers, talent execs and filmmakers, and I'm really excited to share those episodes with you hopefully very soon. It's a really cool buzzy festival which feels at once very local and friendly but also has a global program of events and screenings, and I definitely wish I'd had the time to see more stuff. Something I did watch this week is Knock Down the House, the documentary that follows four women in America in their bid to be elected to Congress, one of whom is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is kind of taking the world by storm right now. It's written, produced, directed, and shot by Rachel Lears, and it's a really affecting look at the power of grassroots politics and an amazing restorer of belief in the fact that change is possible and that good and working class people are just as capable, if not more so, of representing their communities than corporate schmucks. Anyway, suffice to say, watch it and weep. So I'm really excited for the episode this week, as it's completely new territory for me. I interviewed costume designer Ruka Johnson, who has a really varied CV across features, shorts, television and music videos. One of her most recent projects is Obey, a film that dramatises the 2011 London riots, and she has also worked on Sarah Gavron's film Girl Untitled, which shrewd listeners will know has popped up on the pod quite a bit. Hands down, my favourite part of this chat is when Ruka says she wants to be really successful and completely owns it. I think it's always really refreshing, perhaps sadly so, to hear a young woman claim that as their ambition. Even if you're thinking it, we're often told that you have to keep your intentions on the down low and to be gracious and surprised and grateful when that success does find you. But it's always super important to say what you want and to go after it and to not feel shame about doing that, or shame about having success and wealth and creative fulfillment at the top of your agenda. So yeah, that was cool to hear Ruka say, and the rest of the chat is just as inspiring, to be honest. So enjoy, and thank you to Ruka for coming on. This is episode 17 of Best Girl Grip.
Well, my first job was on TV, a TV job, and it was a pilot for Sky Arts. I was assisting a designer called Heidi Miller. You know, they do Playhouse Presents?
Yeah.
It was one of those.
Oh, awesome.
And it was called Night Shift. Yeah, someone, I just really wanted to work on TV. I was working at Costume House, because a costume designer told me that was the best way to get into costume, because you meet other designers. And it was like my third day or something, and someone I was working with was meant to be assisting Heidi but couldn't do it. So I just was like, oh, I've done loads of TV before. yeah, I've done loads. I'll do it, I'll cover for you. And so I just wanted to try it out, and I just loved it. Yeah.
So you knew that costume designing was something that you were interested in?
By that point.
And yeah. How did that come to you? How did you even discover that it was a career that existed?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, because there was a point where I definitely didn't know it existed as a career. Yeah. And then there was a point where I was doing it. So I suppose, like, before that, I was making my own costume. Well, actually, before that, I had, like, a boutique. Mm-hmm. And I was making handmade underwear. And then from that, I sort of moved into more making costumes. I was making costumes for, like, performers, burlesque performers, circus performers, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, sort of bespoke, like, very, like, intricate costumes. And I really loved that, but I was loving, like, aspects of it, but there was something missing. And someone I was friends with at the time was assisting this stylist, like, slash designer called Mrs. Jones. She made, you know, the Kylie Minogue video, like, Can't Get You Out of My Head.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
made, like, the white hoodie.
Oh, wow,
like,
okay.
She's made so many iconic costumes yeah. that you probably didn't even realise were, like, hers. And she used to make all the Scissor Sisters costumes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I went and sort of did, like, kind of, like, apprenticeship assisting type thing with her for a few months. And I suppose that was, like, the closest sort of crossover I've got between, like, costumes but in a different medium, because she was working in music videos and occasionally, like, there's a bit of crossover with TV and stuff. And I think it was probably then that it clicked that, yeah, I could do that. Someone is doing costumes and stuff for films and TV shows. And from then I was just obsessive. I just wanted to find out more and more about it. And I went to a talk at, I think it was AFTA maybe, or VMA or something, I don't know, talk somewhere, with Jane Petrie, who's a costume designer. She did Moon.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I love that one.
I rewatched that the other day. Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, and she did a talk about costume design. Because, yeah, from that point, I was like, I want to find out everything about this. And actually, I was aware of it before. I did a makeup degree at uni for no reason. I don't know why. And as part of that, the course was split into makeup, costume or props and my technical effects. And I do remember halfway through I hated doing makeup and I asked if I could switch them to costume course and they said no. So it was something that had been sort of bubbling in the background. I don't think I realised. Anyway, at the end of this talk I went and asked Jane what's the best way to get into costume design. Mm-hmm. She said go and work at a costume house.
And how long were you at the costume house?
Literally, I did, three shifts. And then I was on that TV show.
Okay, amazing.
And that was it. I just didn't look back.
Basically. And you were assisting on the TV show?
Yes.
And what was your first gig as a costume designer?
Oh, okay. It was probably a short. I don't know which one it would be. I think...
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, did it come to you through, knowing someone? Or how...
I think I probably sought it out. I probably searched out. I can't remember what the first short film was, but one of the first shorts I did was
with Georgia Coggin. Yeah. Actually, was that We Love Moses or that an earlier one?
No, it was an earlier one called Hi Miss.
Okay.
And Dion Edwards is the director.
Mm-hmm. And at what stage are you coming on? Is it you discuss a script with them and you say, okay, this is what it could be? What's the process in preparing for a short film?
So normally they will send me a script. Just have a read, just so I can get an idea of what's going on. I can sort of do a mini breakdown in my head. And then usually after I've read the script and I'm bored, then it'll be a meeting with the director. Yeah, talk about their ideas, how they see it, what they're trying to achieve, how they're trying to tell the story. And then from there, normally I'll go away, do mood boards, do research, that sort of thing. I've actually just remembered that it was not Dion's film, was not the first short. I think the first short I did myself was an NFTS short called The Patriot with this director called Eva Riley.
Yeah, she Diagnosis, and she's doing she's doing her first feature now.
I think they've just finished.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah. I interviewed for that, I didn't get it.
Oh.
But never mind.
It's okay. So what's the interview process like? How are you pitching yourself?
Yeah, it's a weird one. Yeah, because I would say half my jobs come from people I've already worked with before, or just recommendations, and then half of them, I don't know, maybe I've been passed on by someone who knows someone and it's an interview. I always think if I have an interview, 90% I'll get the job. So I think it's a lot to do with I always think the interview is them just seeing if you're going to mesh as people, because by that point they've probably already seen your work creatively and they know you are qualified. Mm. So I think it's a lot of just them seeing if they're going to want to be around you in stressful situations for 6 weeks. But I don't know, every interview is different. Some people really want you to go deep into what's your idea for this. What colour are you going to use for this?
Right.
And some people are more broad. It makes me a bit uneasy when they ask too many ideas, too much input in the interview. But I don't know, sometimes I could just be there excited, but I always think... Because there's been, some interview processes, I've been asked to do mood boards and actual work and stuff. It can be really...
Yeah, there's almost no guarantee, because then you're putting in time and it's there's no guarantee you're going to get that job.
Exactly. And also no guarantee that you're not going to give them an incredible idea. They're going to say to the next costume designer, can you do this? It's just not great. I think it doesn't show much value for creative work in the first place. So I don't think there's other professions you wouldn't ask them to wouldn't go and get your accountant, ask them to do your accounts as a trial.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, I don't know, the interview process is always weird. It's always different.
And at the point of doing your first short, were you making a living from costume designing at that point?
No.
What was, like, your process into making it a sustainable career?
I definitely wasn't making a living from it. I'm trying to think at what point. At the point I was costume designing my first short film, mm-hmm. I was also, like, doing standby. I was assisting, okay. like, other designers and stuff. I wasn't supporting myself from costume designing, yeah. like, little shorts, but I was supporting myself. In like working in costume, able to balance it, just doing a little short here and there in between like bigger jobs that I was on with a smaller role.
Mm.
And I was able to do that for a while. And I always think there's a point where you sort of actually transition to the next level where it's really hard. There's a point where I was trying to, maybe after about a year and a half of doing shorts here and there, there was 1 year where I just filled my entire year with shorts, short little jobs, tiny little promos, tiny little music videos, little shorts, and I was really broke that year because I had to actively like stop, make a choice to stop like assisting.
Right.
So yeah, that year was kind of hard, but then it paid off. Then the year after, then I was supporting myself, albeit on smaller jobs. Mm.
Do you feel like it's almost making a choice to call yourself a costume designer so that then other people can perceive you as
definitely, that? Yeah. I think there's always a point where you have to start, thinking of yourself as, or sort of, I had to be really strict with myself, saying, no, this is what you do, and you can't accept those jobs because that's not your role anymore. Mm. This is your new role. Yeah, just putting boundaries in place with yourself, I suppose, and just knowing what doesn't serve you anymore. And where you need to be directing your focus, I suppose. Mm.
Did you have someone whose career you wanted to emulate or someone that you were assisting that you kind of looked up to for advice?
I don't know if I did, actually, even though I've come across lots of obviously really talented people, really like hardworking people I admire. I feel like I purposely have tried to just make my own path because I think, yeah, what works for one person is just not going to work for you. So I've tried to just be really, just every decision, every career decision I make, just make sure it's serving me, serve my end goal of where I want to be.
Mm-hmm. What is that end goal?
Well, I want lots of awards and lots of money, I don't know. No, I just want to be doing really creative projects, really colourful projects, and I want to have, like, in the most vaguest, broadest sense, I want to have the freedom to be able to fill each, like, working year with projects that make me happy and fulfilled, and projects that I feel like will affect people and, like, speak to people, and I want to be designing things like Black Panther or, you know, Aquaman or I don't know, I don't think I have a specific goal in mind, but I can see where I want to be, and I want to be really successful, but be lucky enough to be successful in doing projects that I would watch if I wasn't designing them.
Yeah. Does that also mean, like, not limiting yourself to a medium? Because I, like, was looking at your CV and you've done, like, shorts, TV, film, music videos.
Yeah.
Is that sort of part of it? Is that you go where you feel like the creativity is?
Yeah, I think so. And I think also part of it, I think part of what I love about this job and, like, why I think it suits it so well is I get really bored. So bored. It's like the second I finish a TV show, I want to do a film. The second I finish a film, I want to do a music video. And then I finish that, I want to do an advert. And I think that's the beauty of this industry. There's so many, like, areas you can expand into. And I don't know what it was like before, but from speaking to people who have been in the industry longer than me and stuff, I don't think there was that much freedom before. I think you found your, like, genre.
Yeah.
And you designed for that genre and that's it. And I think I feel like sort of a looseness, like a freedom. And so I feel like, yeah, if somebody comes to me and says, I want to do this concept and it's incredible and it's like a creative dream for me, but it's in a medium I haven't worked in before, I think to me that's just exciting. It's just a challenge. It's like an opportunity to learn a new skill and master that skill. yeah, I like to. I do remember it, like, near the beginning, someone that I was working for, who will remain nameless, told me, I said I wanted to, I want to try a bit of this, bit of that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, don't do that. You're just going to fail. You have to just, that's not how it works. You have to just concentrate on one thing, you know, can't be a jack of all trades, master of none. Just really negative. And I remember thinking, like, in that moment, oh, you know, I'm going to do it all, actually, because I'm going to try it all, and I don't see why not.
Even directors come from, you know, commercial music video backgrounds.
Exactly.
Like James Laxton, the cinematographer on Moonlight. Like, he does loads of commercials and came from a music video background.
Exactly.
No one would, like, bat an eyelid about him.
That's what I mean. Do you think it's a... Now I'm crushed for you, sorry. Do you think it's, like, is that, like, an older attitude? Is that how...
Yeah, I would say so. I think, and I don't think it's particular to this industry. I think it's standard, like... Like, my parents' generation of just, yeah, staying in one job and working all the way up the ladder in the company.
Yeah.
As opposed to, and for me, it's been, like, a bit, like, anxiety of, like, having loads of different, like, jobs on my CV.
Yeah.
And being, like, does that make me look flighty? Like, does that make me look like I can't hold down a job? It's just the nature of the work now, though, is that a lot of times it's freelance. A lot of times you're coming in for an FTC, and, yeah, it must be the same for you. And
exactly. And also, sometimes you've got bills to pay, and you're freelance, and, you know, an offer comes from the left, you're going to take it.
Mm.
But I definitely think it's more fun that way.
So what are some of, like, the differences between, like, say, working on a music video set and working on a film set?
It is very different. I would say my favourite medium probably is film. I prefer film. I like the length of time. It's long enough that you can get sort of into it, and I feel like there's more creativity and there's more organisation than something like music video, which I find is so chaotic. It's just every time it's the most chaotic thing and there's never enough money. But also it can be amazing because normally it's such a quick turnaround. You're just in and out. And so there's ways you have more freedom than with film or whatever. And I find TV quite structured, a lot more rigid, faster, fast-paced. But that also has its advantages and disadvantages. I just did a film recently that called Blue Story, and the director of that is a rapper / director who normally does narrative musical videos or music videos.
Yeah.
So that was, and his DP is from his music videos. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting because it was almost like doing a combination. It was like doing a month-long music video.
Okay.
So, obviously.
Chaos all the time.
It was chaos for like 4 months, but also it was really interesting. Like, it was just weird seeing the mishmash of like ways it was working and stuff. And in ways I really enjoyed it. And in ways I did. It was really stressful. But yeah, there was a lot of creativity in film, and you have the chance and the time to like really get into it. Music video is sort of, I'm running around sourcing clothes to make it look good for the next 2 days.
Right.
Whereas film, like, I feel like there's time to like really get into the research, like learn about the characters, research just so many different aspects of it.
And you get quite a lot of input, you know, like the director saying, okay, this is what I want the character to be, and how much sort of ideas are you coming up with?
So it depends. Well, I'm always coming up with ideas because I'm full of ideas. How many of them get through is another issue. Depends on whether it's film or TV. I feel like TV, there's way more outside input from the channel and execs and that sort of thing. Film in general will just be like a director and some producers having input. But it depends, again, like sometimes if I'm working with, say, like Georgia and Dion, who I've worked with a lot now, and they trust me and they know my work style and we have really good communication, then on something like that I get a lot of input. Sometimes it's a case of, sometimes I spend a lot of the job trying to win over the director, get them to trust me. So sometimes I don't really get as much, and I also think it's like, it's collaborative job anyway. I don't think you can really go into it with your ego.
Yeah.
Sort of being like, well, this is how I think it should be costume design, because I'm just one person. You know, it's not one person's vision. It's a lot of people coming together to tell a story. I think I like had to learn early on not to take it personal. Sometimes I'm giving my input. If I'm not getting my way, yeah, because also I don't know what's in the director's mind. There's a lot of times where I feel like that's such a bad idea, especially wearing red. And then, you know, they had a conversation with the sound person, they had a conversation with this, and actually they want to do this with the lighting, and, you know, there's so many different factors. Mm.
And are you able to sort of, like, watch dailies and then be like, okay, that's not working, let's do something else, or is it kind of...
Rarely.
Right.
Rarely. So I don't know if other designers get to. The only time I've been shown... Oh, no, that's not true. There's been a couple of times I've been shown, like, the brushes. That is the most useful thing. I wish it happened more.
Mm.
And maybe it is, maybe it's where I am in my career, or I don't even know, but it's so useful. I did a feature last summer with called Girl Untitled.
Yeah, Sarah Gavron's latest.
And I got to watch the brushes for that every day, and it changed the whole process for me.
Mm.
It just makes such a difference being able to see the costumes in action, in context. As you're working on the film, I feel like it was like really making me a better designer. So it's like actors watching playback, or even directors watching the rushes, because sometimes it can be such a weird process where you're doing all this work and like putting it out there, and then you haven't got a clue how any of it's come together till sometimes a year later, and it can feel a bit like detached and sort of like you're just designing in the dark, right? You're just feeling around.
What was working on Girl Untitled like? Would you say your biggest project today, or
probably that and the one I've just done, Blue Story, would be the biggest project today.
Did it feel like a step up? Were you like, oh, okay, this is a challenge?
Good question. It did at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then once I got into it, I felt like there'd been other jobs that felt like more of a dramatic step up than that one.
Mm.
And as big as it was, it's still like low budget, but it was, in terms of experience, it was a lot. It was very emotional, it was very mentally and physically draining. It was really hard, but there was also like lots of aspects that I loved about it. The cast were incredible, like the main cast, they hadn't acted, and they've become like, a couple of them have become literally like my little sisters. I was with them last weekend, but took them to see Us. And they're just incredible, like so talented. In a way, I found it tougher working with them in a way, because I feel like as costume designer, you're in a position of, it's a lot of responsibility on you for keeping people safe and comfortable and feeling protected. Like they're in a really vulnerable position in costume and in your department when they're in your care. Even if they're adults, so especially when it's kids, I'm on like hyper drive, and especially with kids who've never even been on a film set before, it was difficult. It was a lot. I spent a lot of time trying to keep them feeling protected, feeling taken care of, and also feeling confident.
Did the improvisation have an impact on your job at all?
Occasionally, not so much. I think it affected other departments more. But yeah, there's always the element of you don't know where the scene's going to go.
Mm.
You don't know what they're going to say that the director's going to love, and then it impacts the action. And that happened a few times, yeah. It's sort of, yeah, I think I had to stay really flexible, like prepared for anything.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, adaptable, yeah.
Exactly. Working like that on like a small budget.
Yeah, of course.
You know, as well, because anyone can work like that if you've got the money to just... buy whatever you want.
How to get around that, like if you have all these ideas and the budget isn't, you know, facilitating or matching that kind of
I think you just have to be really resourceful.
Mm.
And I think I'm now really experiencing like low budget filmmaking. I can do anything, like any budget now, out of necessity. I've just recently got rid of a lot of it, but I was keeping costume stock, you know, just useful stuff. I just had like a spare room just full of stuff. And yeah, you just have to be able to think really fast on your feet. I think part of what helps me is I'm a problem solver. I But I think you have to have that quality because there's just problems, constant problems. Every last minute change is a problem.
And is that something like the resourcefulness and the adaptability, is that something that you knew you were good at, or you were sort of like learning on the job and then came the realisation that you were good at it?
I think naturally those are qualities that I have, but I think it's definitely a skill that I've honed on the job through mistakes and through disaster after disaster. Like every disaster teaches me something, just shows me a new lesson and how to be even more resourceful. Or yeah, every job I've gone on that's been chaotic has just taught, every single job I come out of, I've learned how to be even more adaptable. So I think, yeah, something that's in me, but definitely the industry in general has like shaped it and like strengthened it.
What's a job that you're proudest of?
Well, maybe one of the jobs I'm, oh, there's a few.
That's good.
Yeah, I find it really hard to like ever like pick like one of anything. But I think there's a music video I did, which I'm really proud of, for Blood Orange.
Mm-hmm.
That was really hard. Like resources were like zero. It was so difficult. I feel really proud because I pulled it off, and it was like a challenging costume brief, and it looked really beautiful. And when I just, the atmosphere on set, everyone was just so happy and it just looked amazing. And that's one of those that I'm really proud of. Probably Girl Untitled, proud of myself for getting through it. And I'm proud of the role that I hope I played, like in the younger cast's lives. And I'm proud that I was there to. I felt like it's a film that was, in terms of like subject matter, was not exactly the same as my own life, but like there were a lot of similarities, a lot of aspects that like mirrored my own life. And so I was really proud that I was there sort of as a representative to sort of tell it authentically. And I haven't seen that yet though, so yeah. I don't know if it's a weird one. I don't know what it's going to be, but I just know in my heart it's going to be amazing.
What's the screening process like for you when you're watching it with an audience? Yeah. Like, do you, is that the first time you've seen your costumes in situ? Yeah, a lot of the time.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, yeah.
And what's that like?
Low-key, I hate it. No, high-key, I hate it. And high-key, I love it. I don't know. I get really nervous.
Uh-huh.
So nervous. So anxious. I find it hard. I spend a lot of time, I think, during the screening just, like, focusing on, like, costume. I'm just staring at, like, collars. Like, oh, my God. I think I'm just looking for mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's unbuttoned. That shouldn't be unbuttoned. I'm noticing continuing mistakes. And I'm just so nervous that I don't, I think the first screening I never really take it in properly because I'm just like a bag of nerves and I can just see every mistake like blown up. But I do, I like the screening process. It's always really nice to watch it with cast and crew, and inevitably you all suffered on the job. That's what it's like. And so it's nice to just all be there together and like see what your hard work and your suffering like was for, and see that it's actually worth it, and like you produce something really incredible. And I find it quite emotional. I cry sometimes.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, cry. Yeah, all that hard work and then suddenly like pay off.
Yeah.
Is there like a style to costume designing? Because I'm thinking in the realms of editing, there's sort of like visible and invisible editing. It's the same with costuming, in that, you know, perhaps with something like Girl Untitled, you want people to almost like just be so embedded in the authenticity to not notice, whereas something like The Favourite, which is very Baroque, and obviously the costumes in that, like, you're going to be noticing them.
Yes.
Is that, do you feel like two pulls there? Or
yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I don't know, there isn't one microphone more, because I think like they're both a skill in their own way. Yeah, something like Girl Untitled, the aim is it should look like no one's even wearing a costume. It needs to look like everyone is who they are.
Yeah.
And they have turned up in what they actually wear. But at the same time, you're still trying to lead the audience. You're still trying to tell them things about those people. So that's really tricky. I always think like people don't really appreciate, or the film-going audience don't appreciate contemporary costume design as much. Everybody puts on like a jumper and a pair of jeans every day, so everyone thinks it's nothing, but I think it's so much goes into costuming something contemporary so that no one does notice.
Yeah.
Actually, it's harder. I find it harder in some ways. But then also when you're designing something where costume is like a focus or visually you're just allowed to really make a statement, it's really difficult to do that and not distract from the film as well. So, yeah.
And like all the little details as well that just like go up to the texture of the
world. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And if I ever work with directors who will really like let me add like layers and textures and like visual cues, like tiny visual cues, that's like a dream. That's, I feel like spoiled when I get jobs like that, because all those things like really contribute like to, is it composite picture? Like they make it, you know, so many tiny things. Same as with regular people. I'm a people watcher anyway. I love studying what people wear. Like, why are they always wearing a blue t-shirt? Mm-hmm. Like, what does it say? How many times have they washed it? Is it sentimental? Why are they wearing that? Like, why are they wearing that with that on top? Like, there's so many, like, hidden, like, secrets, like, aspects of people's personality that come out without them even realising through the way they present and the way they dress.
Do you wish it was a role that gained more recognition from film-going audiences?
Yes. Yes and no. Yes, just because, I don't know, the ego's sake. But also, no. I don't not wish it gained more recognition, but I like, for me, because I love this career, I love it so much, and I want to take it as far as I can, and I love that I can do that in anonymity. I can do that in anonymity, really. Sometimes I will, when I'm working with actors and stuff, I don't envy you at all. The like more successful you get, the less of your own life you have, and that's just not something that's ever gonna even be an issue. Me, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I do it without screeching.
Yeah. So incognito, but I can be working on incredible projects and that sort of thing. But obviously, like, it would be nice if costume design as a whole was like more recognised, more understood. Even sometimes I go on jobs and they're like, oh well, just put them in whatever, no one cares. And I'm like, well, I'm on your job, how can you not care about this? You hired me to do a role. And
yeah.
I think that just comes from like an understanding. And
but yeah, as you were saying, like sometimes it depends on the project. Like yeah, you mentioned Black Panther, and I think that was a big one for people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, A, it was just incredible. But B, yeah. There is that moment where Letitia Wright's character is like going through all his different costumes.
Yes.
And it's like, that goes to show, like, you know, it's like almost meta in this, exactly. Like the different ways he can present himself as a superhero. And it's like,
exactly.
You know. What do you think is the biggest misconception around what a costume designer does?
I think probably just people thinking it's really glamorous, really fun. I mean, it's fun. There's parts of it that are fun. But I don't think people understand how many different aspects of the job there is. I think they sort of assume that you are just sort of shopping all day, just like making lots of glamorous decisions, and you just sort of swan in to set and say everybody wears blue, and you swan out, you go back to Selfridges, like, and it's just nothing like that at all. There's a lot of paperwork, there's a lot of admin, there's a lot of budget management, people management. It's just a lot of different aspects to consider. I have to consider sound, light, makeup, and also people don't really understand it as a job anyway. Like, what do you do? Or someone's picking what everyone wears. Like, how does that work? They're all just wearing jeans. Like, don't they just, you know?
Yeah.
So I think in general it's quite, misunderstood.
Or that every, like, choice has an intention. Like,
exactly. Like that. Yeah, exactly.
I was literally watching Homecoming last night.
Oh, and, me too.
So and like when, yeah, like you see them like sewing every rhinestone onto like a beret, and she, like Beyonce saying, like, yeah, everything here, like, there's a reason behind it.
Exactly.
Like, that must speak to you quite a lot.
Oh, definitely. I was literally screaming at my TV. Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that, I think. And to me, that makes sense because, well, that's why the end product is so flawless and perfect, because every single, like, thread, every single crystal, every piece of stage equipment has been considered. And that's something that I try and apply a lot as well. I'm thinking about everything. I'm considering every aspect, like the angle that someone's glasses sit on their head to me matters to the bigger picture.
Do you have any influences or films that you go to get inspired?
Yes, but it depends on the project. But there's a few films that I think are like my base that I just if I watch can just give me like constant inspiration. And one of the, probably the main one, is Carmen Jones.
I haven't seen that. Oh my God. I think it was at the BFI recently at South Bank. Should have gone.
It's fucking out. Sorry. It's incredible. It's so like lush and like rich and deep. I don't know, have you watched Guava Island yet?
Yeah, I watched it
this morning, actually. I feel like, you know, like the like depth of colour in that.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're like, I don't know, like an old Technicolor movie poster, but like you're in it. Mm. It's just incredible. And like the layers and the palettes. And actually the next film I'm doing with Georgia and Dion, that is...
Is that Pretty Red Dress?
Pretty Red Dress, yeah. That's Dion. I went for a meeting with her. She was giving all her like inspo, and she was like, this is my inspo, Carmen Jones. Have you seen it? And I was like, that's one of my favourite films. It's just incredible. All the pinks and the greens. And but other than that, I love like coming of age films. I'm just obsessed with them. I don't know why. I love films that are like colour heavy.
Yeah.
I love really like deliberate colour palette. And I know it can't be on every job.
You've seen Skate Kitchen?
No.
I feel like that's when it's coming of age. It's set in Brooklyn. Okay. It's about like an all-girl skate crew. Coming of age, lots of like cool, like it's kind of Instagram aesthetic, okay, but like it's deeper than that, and it's got lots of like...
How old is it?
So only a couple of... It came out in the UK last year.
Okay, cool.
By Crystal Mazel, who's a documentary director, and this is her first narrative feature.
Okay, that's so, on my list now. That's my recommendation. Skate Kitchen.
And then finally, is there someone that you've worked with, it can be a costume designer or just another woman that's kind of working behind the scenes in the industry that you've enjoyed working with and you want to spotlight?
Well, I know I've just talked about them, but Dion and Georgia, just as a team, they're so incredible. I have so much faith in them. And I really, I think they're really brave. I think they make really brave choices. I think that I really like their work ethic. I like the way they, I feel like they really know how to take care of crew, make crew feel like family and feel like valued and protected. Mm. I think that's really, that's rare. And I just think Dion is so talented, so creative, and just, I don't think she's got a bad idea in her head.
Coming back to a point you just made, actually, have you ever felt not taken care of on a set?
Oh, yeah.
And how do you... How do you stick up for yourself? How do you protect yourself?
I think that's really difficult, and I think that's something that I'm able to do more now that I'm a head of department and that I feel more established in my career. And even now it's not easy, but I think I get through it just by knowing that like my safety and the safety of my team and like the people around me is more important than whatever's being made. And I think you have to be prepared to walk away and you have to be prepared to lose the opportunity. And that's not always easy. And I've been in a lot of really horrible situations. And I think maybe it's going through those that's made me, I don't know, strong enough to do that. But I think also value yourself more than anything. And also I think when I, earlier in my career, and not that it can't happen now. The threat of like blacklisting was like so like heavy on my head. Like anything that happened, I would just be thinking, oh God, we'll get blacklisted. And you can get blacklisted and touch wood. please no one blacklist me. But I also think the longer I stay in the industry, the more I realise how big the industry is as well. And yeah, you might get blacklisted in that little pocket, but you've got the whole world. There's so many opportunities and you don't have to work around people who are exploitative or putting you in unsafe positions.
right now, but I think we're on the cusp of things changing. I think they will. It will get more inclusive and it will become safer. But I'm always prepared to walk off a job. Even the more established I get, the more I can leverage that to keep other people safe around me as well.
And what do you think we can be doing as an industry to make it more inclusive? Is it something you notice in the costume designing world particularly?
Oh yeah, definitely. What can we do? I don't know.
I think it's quite hard to be like, solve this problem.
I feel like me personally, like now, every project that I go on, I try and ask if I can have trainees so I can specifically recruit people from backgrounds who would never get the chance to work in film.
Yeah.
So, like, this last film I just did, we probably had, like... And sometimes they're just coming in to do a day here or there, but, like, we had, like, 20 people who would never...
Yeah, but it's exposing them to,
literally. And if they did a day, 2 days each, some of them were incredible, so they ended up staying on the whole. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Some of them weren't so good. They just came in, tried it, whatever. I think it's a lot about people who have the access... opening up that access. I don't know, I think also it's like a time where people are doing a lot of their own stuff, people are producing a lot of their own media and cutting out the middleman. So in a way there's a lot more like avenues to access. When I was trying to get into the industry, it felt like a closed door. Partly I just lied my way in because I couldn't see another route in, do you know what I mean?
No, I think that's a great shout. Like, bring people up when and where you can.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you so much for coming in. No. We're
just rambling.
Mate, we've got an hour in the chat.
Thank you for listening to episode 17 of Best Girl Grip. I'll be back next week interviewing a music supervisor whose credits include I, Tonya, American Animals, Caliber, Beast and Prevenge. So make sure you subscribe, follow and all that jazz to be the first to know when that's live. Have a great week and own your ambitions. I think we should all be a little bit more Ruka.